God's plan to save us. In that journey, we saw that, or we looked at the very first worship and saw that blood was in the picture, shed blood. We journeyed on to the great emancipation of the children of Israel from Egypt. And again, we saw blood, shed blood in the plan. We journeyed yet further in the giving of the law at the hands of Moses, the great man of God. And we see in the issuing of the law that over and again slaughtered, shed blood was in the picture. We explored the words of prophets. Isaiah, one of the major prophets, as well as Zechariah, deemed to be one of the minor prophets. And in both situations, we see that they spoke of the blood of Jesus. They spoke of the life that would have been poured out to give life to us. And I still, in recollection, like the words of Zechariah, when he spoke of the flood that would be open. Because in that I remember the words of the songwriter that speaks about that flood. So while Zechariah spoke of a flood or a fountain that would be open, we recognize that even today we have access to that fountain that flows even today. Then we went to a closer history point. We stepped out of the Old Testament into the New Testament, and we examined the forerunner of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist himself. And we recognize that in introducing Jesus Christ to the world, the breadth of what Jesus is and the amount of things that John could have said concerning Jesus Christ, he chose to describe Jesus Christ as the sacrificial Lamb of God. And that pointed again to the fact that right through the ages, from the beginning coming up to Christ's presence with us, that blood was in the plan. If we read Hebrews chapter 9, verse 19 through 22, it solidifies, it puts into context what we are talking about in respect to the blood. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 19 through 22.
For when Moses had spoken every precept,
yes,
to all the people according to the law,
yes,
he took the blood of calves and of goats with water,
yes,
and scarlet wool,
mm-hmm,
and hyssop,
yes,
and sprinkled both the book and all the people.
So when Moses did all of that, blood, you know, we keep seeing blood sprinkled. Read on.
Saying,
mm-hmm,
this is the blood of the testament.
Yeah, so he spoke about the blood of the testament. Jesus, you know, towards the close of his ministry, he established the Lord's Supper, you know, and he spoke about the blood. But he spoke about a new covenant. But I'm not going to go there. Read on.
Which God hath enjoined unto you.
Yes, read.
Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle.
So he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle
and all the vessels of
and all the,
ministry.
Vessels. Blood, you know, blood. Read.
And almost all things are by
and
the law.
And almost all things
are by the law.
are by the law
purged with blood.
Purged with blood. Read.
And no shedding of blood is no remission.
And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So, we are seeing here that the blood plays a very significant part in the salvation of man. In fact, in verse 22, it highlights the fact that blood in every significant thing, including in the Old Testament era, that blood was very prominent and very important. But read verse 1, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, the passage that was read earlier, verse 1 to 4, also joins in. Well, it's really a continuation. You know, sometimes we read and we say, well, chapter 9 of Hebrews, and then we say chapter 10. But it was one big letter. All right, and the concept and the thoughts that started in Hebrews continued right through in Hebrews chapter 9, continued right through into Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 1 starts by saying,
For the law, having a shadow of good things to come.
Having a shadow of good things to come. And that is exactly the point that we are making. That from the beginning of time, blood was in the picture. And even in the law was just giving us a shadow, was just giving us a preview, as it were, about the real thing that was at play. So all this thing about the importance of the blood and how chapter 9, verse 22 put it, that almost all things, you know, concerning the law was purged, was cleansed with blood. But that was just a shadow. And I'm here to say to us that really all of that was leading up to the blood of Jesus Christ. Because in the blood of Christ, there are many wonderful and beautiful things. And we are going to look at some of them. But the law was a shadow. In fact, when we go down to verse 4 of the same Hebrews 10, it spoke about the inadequacy of what was happening under the Old Testament system, under the era of Moses and the children of Israel. And it says that it is impossible. Read.
For it is not possible.
For it is not possible.
That the blood of bulls.
That the blood of bulls.
And of goats.
And goats.
Should take away sins.
Should take away sins. So as much as we have been tracing that journey and seeing blood upon blood, right through the Old Testament, right through the law given to the children of Israel, it highlights that it is impossible. It is not possible that the blood of animals could take away sin. So although they would have taken the lamb, although they would have taken the kid, although they would have taken the big goat, no matter what animal, no matter how pretty and smooth and lovely the turtle dove look, no matter how many of that would have been offered, it could not take away man's real problem. It did not solve the problem of sin. Because the passage says that it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats and, if I can insert, birds, no blood could take away the sins of man. Not at all. You know, it's almost like, you know, man had a sin problem. And God knew exactly what the solution is. But he had to put something in place to deal with it for a time. And can we relate to that? Yes, we can. I was asking, you know, give some nice illustrations or something when you just patch up a thing, you know. But I remember coming from Montego Bay. My vehicle was relatively new at the time. You know, when you have a new vehicle, you feel confident, you don't even check it out when you're doing a far distance. You just jump in and you move around because you see it as a reliable vehicle. But leaving Montego Bay and coming back into Kingston, going up, I don't remember that hill, but that steep hill. Not fir tree this time. All right. The vehicle just lost power. When somebody pulled over and gave me a help, I realized that some hose had burst. Being a mechanic, he was able to tell me, well, that is, that part, you probably have to change that part. But being a relatively new vehicle, I said, well, it's under warranty. So I don't want to go mess up with anything. And then they say, well, they won't fix it under the warranty. But the reality is that I was stuck far from home. And he said, well, I can do a thing for you. I could get some epoxy and patch it up. It will take you into Kingston. So it was that the only thing that could deal with our sin problem was the blood of Jesus Christ. But until Jesus Christ came, because Jesus Christ had to come at the perfect time. And it's almost like God now says, well, let animal blood be the epoxy, be the little glue that will hold things together until Jesus Christ came. You know, one of the things with those animal sacrifices, is that over and over again, you would have to patch it up. So the priest would have to, every year, be offering the sacrifice for the same sin over and over and over again. I'm no mechanic, but when he gave me the epoxy thing, he said, I'm making sure to show you what is the issue. Because as you take your journey back into Kingston, it is possible that hose and that hole that the epoxy was holding, that glue, it's not a permanent thing. So it might open up again. So he showed me so that if along the journey I would have to patch it again, it would take me home. It could take me until I could get to the dealer. I could get to have the pump and the hose repaired. So it was in the Old Testament. When the priest went and offered sacrifice for sin over and over again, year upon year, he had to deal with it for himself and then for the people, continually, for the same sins. You know, and you know how we stay as mankind, right? We don't have just one sin. Every time, even as Christians, you know, but I'll never forget Brother Fisher's illustration that as Christians, we are not sinless. What we aim to do as Christians is to sin less. So less and less we sin. That's growth. So here the children of Israel, and year upon year, so all of those blood that was shed to deal with those sins, by the next year or the next period that they would have to sacrifice, they would have to offer for the past sins, then for the new sins. And so continually year on year, the same sin you'd have to be dealing with. Keep patching. Keep gluing. Keep epoxying the problem. Read verse 10. You still at Hebrews chapter 10? Hebrews 10, verse 10, yes.
By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Once for all. When Jesus Christ was offered in the shedding of blood of Jesus Christ, we find that sin was dealt with once and for all. When we became Christians and we emerged from that watery grave where we came in contact with the blood of Christ, every sin that we had committed, it's gone. Once and for all dealt with. And Christ had to do it just once. You notice how that once cut all over the place? Christ died once to deal with all the sin problem. You know, but Zachariah's thing still rings in my ears. There is a fountain filled with blood. And so even though Christ some 2,000 years ago shed that blood, we can still access that blood and the redemption that comes in that blood years after. And when we continue to mess up as we do, we can still tap into the blood of Jesus Christ. Once for all sacrifice. That's what we have in the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, we speak about, you know, animals cannot take away sin. But it's not only animals, you know. No man, no other man can take away sin. No matter how great they are, they can't take away sin. You know, when we look at world leaders and persons who have impacted the world positively, giving their very life for a great cause, we recognize that as great as they were, they didn't deal with sin. Martin Luther King, you know. Many of us can, there are several of us can at least recite part of his famous saying, you know, I have a dream, you know. And we make reference to it. But even though his life was taken for a grand cause, he didn't deal with sin. And we don't even have to take it that far. We just need to look at our own history. Because so many of our heroes, who we have put up as heroes in Jamaica, they died for great cause. But their death did not and could not deal with our sin problem. Paul Bogle, George William Gordon, Sam Sharp, for freedom, what was his famous saying? You know, I'll have to paraphrase. I'd prefer to go to the gallows than to live in slavery. Oh, okay, I make this point. It's still fresh in our thing. You know, I had to speak to a young lady at work. When was the election? The 3rd. So on the 2nd, I was talking to her, young lady. And she was saying she's not going to vote. And I said, why? Why disenfranchise yourself? You know, the forefathers fought, worked, gave their life so that we can have that right to vote. Why disenfranchise yourself? You know, they were killed. You have a right. Make a choice, man. I'm not saying you must go JRP. But you just look and assess and say, I have a right. Let me choose. Are you going to pick a straw? Flip a coin? What? But you have a right. Exercise that right. Anyway, let me come back. What is the point? Even these great persons who died, sacrificed their life, they could not deal with the real problem that mankind has to deal with sin. What it took was the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I have it again, verse 10? If I read verse 10 to verse 12 this time of Hebrews chapter 10.
By the which we are sanctified.
By the which we are sanctified.
Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Read.
And every priest standeth daily.
Every priest standeth daily.
Ministering and offering oftentimes.
Oftentimes, yes.
The same sacrifice.
The same sacrifice.
Which can never take
which
away
can
sins.
Never. Which can never
take away sins.
Can never.
Take
can sins. Never take away sins. Read.
But this man.
But this man.
After he had offered.
One, after he had offered.
One sacrifice for sins.
Once. One sacrifice.
For sins.
For sins.
Forever.
Forever.
Sat down on the right hand of God.
In the blood of Jesus Christ. Started from the very beginning of time, the blood was shown to be important. But all the sacrifice, all the blood that was shed, did not really deal with it until the blood of Jesus Christ. How can we ever deny the importance of Jesus Christ? How can people talk about God and Him saving mankind and then says, I don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was just a perfect man. There's no deity in Him. We are told clearly by the Hebrew writer in these verses that in the blood of Jesus Christ, we have sanctification. And can I talk a little about sanctification as we press on? Because in the blood of Christ, there are many things. And so we can say in the blood of Christ is. In the blood of Christ is purging, cleansing. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, we read it earlier, but we can read it again. I'm going to be highlighting some things, as I promised last week. Some things that we gain in the blood of Jesus Christ. And the first thing we are saying is that in the blood of Jesus Christ, we have cleansing. We have a purging. Read verse 14.
How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God?
So we are seeing that in the blood of Jesus Christ, there is cleansing. Read for me again slowly. Verse 14.
How much more? Then will the blood of Christ.
No, listen. How much more? And listen to what he's tying it to. How much more what?
Will then the blood
the
of
Christ. The blood of who? Of the animals?
Of Christ.
The blood of Christ. That's what we're talking about. How much more will the blood of Christ do what?
Who through the eternal Spirit.
Yes.
Offered himself unblemished to God.
We're talking about the blood of Christ. Read.
Cleanse our consciences.
The blood of Christ will cleanse us.
Amen.
The blood, that's what the blood of Christ does. Amen. It cleanses us.
Amen.
It purges us.
Amen.
That's what the blood of Christ does.
Amen.
In the blood of Christ, we have purging. In the blood of Christ, we have cleansing.
Amen.
But not only do we have purging and cleansing in the blood of Christ, but it is in the blood of Christ that we have sanctification.
Amen.
In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29, and sorry, I don't have a brighter. Read.
How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished?
That's the NIV? That's the King James?
The NIV.
That's the NIV. Okay, I was wondering, because when I was studying, you know, the King James, you know, spoke about purging. You know, but I wanted to use the word cleansing. So when the brother read, no, and I hear cleansing, I said, you know, just interpret it for me like that. So when we talk about what the NIV, I like what the NIV rendered this, because we have cleansing. We have cleansing in the blood of Christ. But Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29 is now telling us and showing us that in the blood of Christ, we not only have cleansing, but we are sanctified.
Amen.
Read.
How much more? Severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot?
Yes.
Who has treated as an unholy thing
yes.
the blood of the covenant.
Okay. Who has treated as an unholy thing the blood. So I want us to again make the link that we are talking about things that in the blood of Christ we find. So we find in the blood of Christ cleansing. But we are now being told again that in the blood of Christ we have something else. Read.
Who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them.
The blood that sanctified them.
Amen.
You know, and again, the NIV sort of makes it clear. When you read the King James Version, could we have it in the King James Version? You know, since that is what we have, and I love the King James Version. Just read that for me in that version.
Of how much sorer punishment?
Of how much sorer punishment?
Suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy?
Shall he be thought worthy? Yes.
who hath trodden on the foot the Son of God.
So we're talking about the Son of God. We're not talking about any other man. We're not talking about any animal. The Son of God. Read.
And hath counted the blood of the covenant.
And has counted the blood
of the covenant.
Read.
Wherewith he was sanctified.
Wherewith he was sanctified.
An unholy thing.
And this is where, you know, the King James doesn't really make it as clear. Because if you read it carelessly, it might give the impression that it is Jesus Christ who is sanctified. But it's not really Jesus Christ who is sanctified. It is really us, the Christians. It is us who benefit from sanctification. It is us who benefit from being set aside. It is us who benefit from being specially set. We are the ones sanctified. You still have the NIV. Let's read that section again in the NIV. Trodden underfoot. Continue to pick up from there. You are still at verse 29.
Who has treaded
blood of the covenant. Pick up there, sir. Midway through verse 29.
Deserve to be punished. Who has trampled the Son of God underfoot.
Yes.
Who has treaded. Who has treated as an unholy thing.
Yes.
The blood of the covenant.
Yes.
That sanctified them.
That sanctified them.
Amen.
You get it? So, by the blood, we are sanctified. By the blood, we become separated. So, when we are Christians, we are no more of the world. We are separate from the world. We are set aside. We are special. You know, one man said, you're special. We are not ordinary anymore. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are set aside. We are placed as special persons. We, the Bible says we are peculiar people. We are royal priesthood. You know, we are not normal anymore. We are special. But the point I want to make is that it is the blood of Jesus Christ that puts us in that state. It is the blood of Christ. You see, Christ gave his life. By his blood, by that agreement, by that promise that was sealed with his blood, that covenant, we have been set aside. You know, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12 sort of solidifies the same concept of the tying the blood with sanctification. We have it? If you have it, read it quickly.
Wherefore Jesus also.
Jesus. That's what we're talking about.
That he might sanctify the people.
He sanctified the people.
With his own blood.
And this again helps us. Eh? So it is not Christ that gets sanctified, but it is the people. Because Jesus Christ is already special. You know, Jesus Christ is already holy. But by the blood of Jesus Christ, by his sacrifice, then we now get into that special place. We get into that holy place where we are set aside. We are not normal. We should not be behaving as the world behaves. And that's another point for us to bear in mind as Christians, because sometimes as Christians we want to be just like the world. We don't want to be separate from the world. You know, we don't want, if a person come and say, are you a Christian? You look like a Christian. It's almost like we feel offended. It's like, this one be the wrong. No. You know, we don't want to be peculiar. We want to just blend in. But we are really a sanctified set of persons. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. You know. But you know, there's an interesting thing. You know, we pick out cleansing and sanctification. You know, Paul in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26 makes the point that he didn't just do what he did for people. He did it for a special group of people. And it is interesting that he picks out these same things. Cleansing and sanctification. Let's have it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. In fact, start at verse 25.
Husbands,
love your wives.
Just as Christ loved the church. And gave himself for it.
So Jesus Christ gave his life. You know, we had looked at Leviticus 17 and verse 11 and says that there is life in the blood. So in the shedding, in the pouring out of his blood, he gave his life. But he's saying, even though Hebrews 13, 12 had told us that for the people, you know, he had sanctified the people, we are now told that God is looking special at the church. Amen. Continue reading, verse 26.
And gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word.
All right. King James, something. Nothing is wrong with the NIV, but I want us to read it from the King James Version. Because Christ gave his life for the church. His blood was poured out for the church for the express purpose of, verse 26,
that he might sanctify and cleanse it.
Jesus Christ gave his life. In the blood of Christ, we have sanctification because of the blood. In the church, we have sanctification because of the church. So Paul is joining the Hebrew writer. Don't know if they are one and the same. But he's joining in to say, in the church, we come in contact or we get sanctification because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Did it end there? So we have sanctification. Start reading again. Start of verse 26. Read.
That he might sanctify. And cleanse it with the washing of water.
Stop. Did we talk about sanctification? That in the blood and through the blood of Christ, we have sanctification. And if we say and see that in the blood we have cleansing. Read again verse 26. Start over.
That he might sanctify.
And cleanse.
With the washing of water. By the word.
That's the end of verse 26. But you notice we're coming from verse 25. So what we are seeing is that this cleansing, this sanctification is tied up in the church. Because Jesus Christ gave himself for the church. Jesus Christ poured out his blood for the church. Amen. Why? So that he can cleanse the church. So that he can sanctify and set it aside, make it special. Amen. Take it out of this world. Yeah. Separate us from the ways of this world. Where is that done? And for whom was that done? In the church. Do you remember how we introduced the lesson? We introduce the lesson that God makes no mistake. There's no mistake that God is making. Important matters concerning salvation and the church were always in his plans, including the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ leads to cleansing, leads to sanctification. But now we are being told in Ephesians that Christ gave himself for the church. Why? To cleanse it, to sanctify it. And so therefore we are seeing that cleansing and sanctification is in the church. The church that Jesus Christ died for. We cannot get in contact with the blood of Christ and be absent from the church. It's twined up. It all mingled, it locked up, it tight, interconnected. These are about two things, you know. Because in the blood of Christ, there are many other things. But let's not leave some important truth that we are being exposed to in this passage. Because in verse 25, it says something important. Verse 25 of Ephesians 5. Start reading again.
Husbands.
Husbands.
Love your wives.
Love your wives.
Even as Christ also loved
the church. Even as Christ also
loved the church.
Loved the church.
And gave himself for it.
And gave himself for it. I don't want to waste the sharing, the opportunity to share a truth here. It is not churches. It is not them. But Jesus Christ gave himself for the church, singular. Amen. So it is important for us to realize that you can't go get cleansing and sanctification any and any church. Because Christ died and gave his life. He sanctified and he cleansed for it, the church. And you know, this passage demonstrates that God and the persons who wrote the scriptures understood English. Them never mix up singular and plural. You know, start again, verse 25.
Husbands.
Husbands.
Love your wives.
Husbands. That's plural or singular? Plural. Husbands. Love your wife. Okay. So, if you're talking about husbands, you should be talking about wives. Because one man should not have multiple wives. You should not have multiple women having one husband. All right, so singular is matching. All right, so he didn't say, husband, love your wives. He didn't say, husbands, love your wife. But so we are seeing the clear understanding of plural and singular. And then it says anything else that seemed to resemble singular and plural. Start again. Husbands.
Love your wives.
Love your wives.
Even as Christ.
Even as Christ. Wait. Not as Christ's. But as Christ. And then somebody says, yeah, man, it could be Christ's. But it's a crisis. All right. I'm not going to join you and say that there's any crisis in Christ. But even though when Christ died, it was three of them. The three persons crucified? as much as three persons were on the cross at the point where Jesus Christ died, the other two never give themselves to lead to any cleansing and sanctification. No. Even the one that says, remember me, and we have life lessening that, that wasn't cleansing us. It was Christ alone. In fact, Christ says, you know, through the Apostle Paul, was Christ, is Christ divided? It's just one. So here again, we see the respect for singular and plural. Yes, man. So, husbands, wives, Christ, one. You said there's more singular and plural in that? All right, go again for me. Wives, husband, love your wives, even as?
Church. No,
even as Christ.
Also love the church.
As Christ loved the churches. The church. So here we are seeing that Jesus Christ loved the church. Which one? But the one thing says the church that belonged to him. You know? And so when I come up and say, I create a church called the Church of Benevolence. And I think it's that one Christ loved. Eh? The church of loveliness. The church of kindness. You know, I can't come up with all kind of things, you know. You know, if we're not careful, the government might have to set up a new agency. You know, so like how you have companies, Office of Jamaica, with all of these different names, and you have to register the name. Probably they still need something like that for the churches. They are more to, everybody coming up with a new name. You know, we probably still have to have a ministry anyway. Time we run out is almost there. Jesus Christ gave himself for the church. And then he cements it. The passage was finished for the church. That was the last word in the passage.
And gave himself for it.
So you said it's so silent. Read it again, man.
And gave himself for it.
Them.
It.
It. So that's another singular. It. So we recognize that the church is singular, at least in the sight of God and the holy apostles, the writer. So even though we have all of these multiplicity of things, different persons, Christ saying, hey, I wasn't divided. There is a singularness in the church. But let's not miss the point that we are on. We are making the point that in the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing. But that cleansing is in the church. In the blood of Jesus Christ is sanctification. But sanctification is in the church. Amen. Time run out on me again. I won't get a chance to now highlight how it is that we come in contact with the blood. Yes, in the church. But how is it? I have 2 minutes. All right, let me take 2 minutes. I'm not going to take the 2 minutes. I'm going to stop right here. If you are not a member of the church, then there's no way you can get, you're in a cleansed state. There's no way that you are in a sanctified state. All of the blood that was shed all these centuries coming up, it was just a patchwork. It was just epoxy. It was just a glue holding temporarily that the poor priest had to do over and over again. But Jesus Christ, and in the blood of Jesus Christ, we have cleansing. We have sanctification. He did it once. He did it for all. Yes, for you and for me. There is that fountain still here today that we can tap into for the blood of Jesus Christ. We invite the song leader to come with a song of encouragement. If you have not become a part of the church, you can do so today. Just believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Believe that you can make that change. You can change to a sanctified state, a special state. Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be immersed in water. Come in contact with his blood. And then you'd be a part of his church. You'd be added to the church of Christ. You would become, you'd come in a state where you are sanctified. You come in a state where you are cleansed. Where God see you as special. So special because, and so much that he gave his life for you.